القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us in the remainder of this month with the tawfiq to be able to reach the objective and the goal of this month, inshallah. Try to uplift that soul, try to leave the material world for a bit so that we can cater to that soul of ours, inshallah. Try to develop that taqwa. There's a verse in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad wa taqullah. O people who believe, make sure you have this taqwa, you implement it. It's something we have to work for, it's something that takes time, it's something that we've got to constantly have on our minds and work towards it. And the reminder he gives us is that وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. What has every person should look before the end of their life, before they reach an old age. Look, as youth even, we don't remember, we don't think that death is something that can happen to us. We don't think of it like that, especially as youth. But we're told, the true believers, the wise ones even, it's wise to do so. Remember it, there's no guarantee. We've had youth, they've passed away in car accidents and different diseases that have developed. If God wants to take our life, He can take it. We don't know, next minute. If He wants, I can, in the middle of my talk, He can take my soul. I don't know when that's going to happen. And it's very good for us to remember this concept and look, what have I been sending forth for myself in the hereafter? Is it something that I would be enjoying in the hereafter, or is it something that's going to be very painful? This is a very good reminder that inshallah we get to have, and we're able to use this month to move in the direction of taqwa, inshallah. And taqwa, as we said, was the servitude of Allah, the ibadah of Allah. Becoming His slave was the only path towards prosperity. And we're trying to talk about dimensions of taqwa that we pay a little less attention to when it comes with to our interactions with each other, with family members, with parents. And I hope these were good reminders for myself and for the brothers and sisters. And then we started to talk about husband and wife. And that relationship is something that we can easily, you know, a marriage relationship can either be a relationship, and we make it such, it's either a relationship that's going to destroy our lives in this world and in the hereafter, or it can be a relationship that helps us get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very easy to go either way. It's very easy to go in the wrong direction, especially. So depending on our actions, we talked about the responsibilities of the husband, and we were talking about the responsibilities of the wife. And as I mentioned, these are things, sometimes we have certain restrictions on what we say and what we talk about in our cultures that doesn't help. I've said this before in other places. look at some of the verses of the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the most polite book, the most polite wording. If you want to be respectful, if you want to be polite, if you want to be decent, you can't go beyond the Holy Quran. Okay. The Holy Quran is exceptionally polite and very careful the wording that it uses. But even in the Holy Quran, if you look at some of the wording that we have there, if I were to just translate what some of those words mean, all right, and if I didn't tell you that this is from the Holy Quran, I would just, translate those words. Or forget about translating the words, figure out what the translation is and just mention those words to you. You would not let me sit up here on the minbar. Okay. But the culture that has developed, as I said yesterday as well, some of the ahadith that we have, I'm not able to discuss those. I personally, this is maybe something cultural as well. And when I do give you hadith, believe me, I don't give you accurate translations. All right, I kind of put a twist to it so you don't drag me off the minbar while I'm talking. All right. So it's important that we talk about these subjects and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. We talked about one responsibility, which was that wives, women that have been married are supposed to have their husband's consent before leaving the house. They need to know that their husband is okay with it. All right. This is one responsibility. Another responsibility that we started to talk about was the intimate relationship that a husband and wife have got to have. This is something that according to the verses of the Holy Quran and in the ahadith, it is an obligation for the wife to be obedient to her husband in this way. It's an obligation. Okay. I would like to repeat one line that I mentioned. And that is the importance of this in a marital life. In marital life, the intimate relationship between the husband and wife, again, that's one of the very important areas that can cause a marriage to go through and to be successful or for it to be unsuccessful. That's how important it is. Very, very serious. Don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things as obligations for no reason. Don't think that, I don't know, there's some unknown. The reason why this is an obligation is because of its serious impact on the relationship between the husband and wife. It's a need that both parties have, which I'll try to explain a bit more. But the responsibility falls on the shoulders of the sisters. In other words, as a legal responsibility. You may be asking the question, why is this responsibility a responsibility that women have? What about the men? Why are they not responsible in this regard? Well, there's no need for the responsibility because God has given them, naturally made them such that they are going to be pushing for it. They don't need to be said. It's not an obligation. They don't need to be told that you need to provide this service for your spouse. No, naturally, a man is going to be wanting it a lot more often. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created men. But the problem is that the women are not exactly like that. We'll get to the ahadith. I'll try to be brave and mention those ahadith. The effect that it has on the relationship, if the two spouses are not satisfied from one another in this way, it has a very, very negative impact. Recite a salawat, please. I want to see where I've put that hadith to talk about it. Allah. Okay, I'll just talk about it right here. It has a very, very negative impact on the relationship if the two parties are not physically satisfied from one another. They're not pleased with one another. It creates frustration. All right? I'll give you a hadith, and then one of the teachers mentioned something that was interesting. The hadith says this. Okay, why the sisters are responsible for this. Men don't have as much shahwa and lust as women have. We have this in a number of hadith. Okay. However, they have, the same way that they have less comparatively and relatively, shahwa is a very, very strong desire. Okay. It's not comparable to any other desire that we have. And that's why it's, we have a lot of restrictions, a lot of rules that apply to it. We have to make sure that we don't get involved with sin in that regard. We have a lot of restrictions. We talked about the interaction between the opposite genders. All of those restrictions are for that reason. It's very, very easy to fall into sin. It's a very strong desire, okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that desire there. For men, He has said, according to the ahadith, I've given them less lust, but I've also given them less patience. Okay? So men are very impatient when it comes to the satisfaction of this desire. When the temptation is there, if it is not satisfied, especially with someone that they expected to be satisfied with, like their wife, their spouse, which they're supposed to, they get extremely frustrated at that person. And that frustration causes problems. That frustration does not allow, even if they want to be kind, they're just too angry to do anything in the right way, to use nice and kind words. Okay. What the teacher said, these were his words, I'm just telling you. He said if you find your parents fighting on the salt and your dad is very angry maybe at why there's not enough salt or something ridiculous that doesn't really deserve a fight or anything, you have to know that something didn't go right last night. Okay. He didn't get what he wanted. Okay. If the satisfaction is not there, it's going to create frustration in the husband. All right. Women like to be treated well, and they're supposed to be treated well. You have to know, if he doesn't get it, then he naturally, he's going to get very, very frustrated. All right. And he's not going to be able to function right. Recite a salawat. So one wrong strategy for sisters, for wives, okay? If there's something that he has done that you don't like, all right? There's a certain behavior that he has, or he did something, he said something, he disrespected you, for example, or I don't know, he did things in a way you didn't like it, you told him to do something, he did it in a different way, you wanted something, he didn't get it for you, whatever it may be. He spoke to you in a way you didn't like. The wrong strategy is to say that, you know what, now that you're mistreating me, okay, then I'm not coming. I'm not coming to the bedroom. All right. That's a wrong strategy. Okay, that's a very wrong strategy. The proper strategy is that, as one of the brothers used to say, one of the scholars, and I'm very hesitant to mention his name because he's told me not to mention his name in this context too much. People know him for that because of him being mentioned in that context a lot. So I'm not going to mention him. But in his words, men are simple creatures. Okay, very simple. If you satisfy them, they'll flip backwards for you, okay? They'll do anything that you want for you. So instead of taking the strategy that I'm not going to give them what they want, then the strategy should be actually to provide them with what they need. Recite a salawat. Okay. Now, a hadith that we have from the Ahlul Bayt Salamullah Alayhim Ajma'in. Because we're told in this relationship, in the intimate relationship, as we said, it's a responsibility. But they're also told, the sisters are told, the wives are told, you have to be a little more proactive in this regard. Okay, these are the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt. A hadith from, I believe it's Imam As-Sadiq Salamullah Alayhi. He says, خَيْرُ نِسَائِكُمْ أَلَّتِي إِذَا خَلَتْ مَعَ زَوْجِهَا خَلَعَتْ لَهُ دِرْعَ الْحَيَاءِ. Okay. The best of your women. You're talking about spirituality, as we mentioned yesterday as well. There is spirituality. This is how beautiful Islam is. It's a complete religion. You don't take care of some of your needs and leave the others. It doesn't tell you to remain hungry, not to eat, not to have good food, and just go and worship. It doesn't tell you that this desire, this strong desire that God has put into you, is something that you need to avoid. It's something that is wrong. It's something that you should try to, you know, bare minimum or whatever. No. It's a worship. So he says, خَيْرُ نِسَائِكُمْ, the best of your women. The best of women are those who, إِذَا خَلَتْ مَعَ زَوْجِهَا, if she's in private with her husband, خَلَعَتْ لَهُ دِرْعَ الْحَيَاءِ, she removes all veils of haya. Okay. There's clothes that we wear, but then there's haya. Being chaste is very good. Having that haya is extremely important for sisters. Sometimes sisters have a little less of that in dealing with members of the opposite gender, with guys outside on the phone or whatever. They're a little too comfortable. That's not good. It's good to have that haya. As we mentioned, you know, try to give yourself a manly voice, you know, when you answer that phone, okay? If it's a guy, or you think maybe it's a guy. Speak to them in a way where they don't feel comfortable with you, all right? And just a tip on that as well, try not to laugh and giggle, because when you start laughing, then that's when the guy starts to develop certain feelings. Just be careful, all right? Just be careful. So haya is really good. Haya is very good. But not with the husband, okay? It's not good to have haya with the husband. Haya is for outside. We are told, according to this hadith, it says that when you're in private, in that intimate relationship, all forms of haya have got to be removed. You shouldn't think, oh, this is bad, or no, everything, just remove haya completely. No haya. Alright, this is important. Sometimes, maybe religious sisters would think certain things maybe are bad or whatever, but we're told, Islam says, the ahadith say, the words of the Ahlul Bayt say, for sisters, don't feel shy, don't feel haya. That's not the time for it. Outside. And that says, that's why it says, وَإِذَا لَبِسَتْ, when she wears her clothes, she wears the dir'ul haya as well. The armor of haya, which is, it is an armor. It prevents us from sin. It prevents us from corruption. So, based on the ahadith, a few tips. Sometimes, as we said, the obligation is there. If the husband wants it, then the wife is supposed to provide that. She's supposed to provide it for her husband. But sometimes, we hear comments like, okay, I don't feel like it, what about that? I've even heard comments like, you know, when I don't feel like it, if I have to, I feel like a prostitute. Okay, al-ayadu billah. Well, that's not right. Okay, that's not good. So there are certain things, since it's an obligation, there are certain things that we need to do that are good for us, according to the ahadith. One, as we said, being proactive according to the ahadith, taking care of themselves, sisters taking care of themselves, and brothers have got to help out there, all right? Makeup is for in the house, in front of the husband. Sometimes, you know, women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given beauty to women, right? Guys are not as attractive and good. Like, beauty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to women, okay? And the want to be beautiful and have beauty, all right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that. If it's not satisfied in the right way, it's going to be wanting to be satisfied in the wrong way, all right? For the sisters, this want to look good, look presentable, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, okay, putting makeup on, looking very nice, being attractive, that's good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that in you. But there's a place for it. That's for in the house, in front of the husband. You should dress in a way that when he comes home, the husband doesn't feel all the beautiful women are out there, and I am coming home dealing with someone, well, you know, she's been working in the house as well, probably, maybe. Clothes are dirty, maybe. She's been working, she's been sweating, she doesn't smell very good. Okay. God forbid, maybe the mouth even smells. Okay. This is not how the husband should come home and see the wife. When he comes home, the wife should have made herself, those responsibilities are there to an extent, in a certain sense. However, the wife is supposed to take care of herself. She needs to be proactive in that relationship. Recite a salawat, please. It's important that sisters take care of themselves, as I said. And the kind of the reverse side of that is, it's important that brothers make comments, husbands make comments, show that you actually like that, all right? Because if she dresses up a couple of times, she puts on makeup, you come home and you're just too busy, your thoughts are too busy or whatever, and you know, you don't notice it, then she's not going to come and do I have anything on my lips? Okay, do I have anything? She's not going to do that. But if she notices a couple of times that you're not noticing it, then that's a big turnoff. Okay, she's not going to want to do that again. So it's important that we give comments as well, and we show that we've seen it, we've noticed it, and she looks good. It's important that we do that. Another thing that we have is, since it's an obligation, a lot of times, as I said, some I've heard sisters that come for counseling, they say that, well, you know, it's, you don't feel like it, you don't want it. Try to learn techniques that you can enjoy that relationship as well. Learn. It's important that sisters also learn how they can enjoy it. It's a responsibility, right? So it's better that you learn how to enjoy it instead of avoiding that responsibility. As we said, the responsibility is very severe. We had a hadith that said that the angels are going to be cursing the person if they don't fulfill that responsibility. It's very serious. It's a very serious responsibility. So learn how you can enjoy it yourself so you wouldn't be forcing yourself. If you've prepared your mindset, if you've prepared yourself and you know how to enjoy it, it's something that is enjoyable. Why not? One can enjoy it themselves instead of doing it only for the husband. It's something that one enjoys as well themselves. It's something that we need to do. And a few points in that regard for the brothers, which is also important. Very important. Okay. Let me mention this. I see some of the brothers having their heads down. Okay. That haya is good. Okay. Haya is good. And believe me, it's not the most... I rather talk about spirituality. I rather have those tears as well. I rather talk about Imam al-Hussein. It makes me feel better. And I'm in a very uncomfortable position here talking about this. Believe me. All right? But it's important. I'm doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know it is rewarding. Okay? I know this is something that I have to do. Okay? So, a couple of points to make that relationship, the intimate relationship between husband and wife, better. Brothers, you all also have a responsibility in that regard. One thing is, if your wife is in the house dealing with the kids, she's had a rough day, they're screaming or whatever, they haven't done their homework, they've been rude to her, she's had to, make food, she's tired, she's done all of that. If she's tired and exhausted, okay, you may have that need, but you can't expect her to be smelling like perfume and feeling all fresh, okay? You should expect that she smells like food and spices instead, okay? You should expect that she hasn't been able to take a shower yet, all right? It's a responsibility that we allow her to prepare. Allow her to have some time, get some rest. You don't want someone just lying there. You want to enjoy your relationship. Okay? If you want to enjoy the relationship, it has to be active on both sides. If she's exhausted and had a bad day or whatever, yeah, Islamically, legally, this is the other thing. Okay, yeah, it says that whenever I want, I demand it. Okay? I've been out, I've seen things that I shouldn't have, people were around me, whatever, I really, really need this. Okay. And she's like, okay, whatever, it's a responsibility, I'm just too tired. She falls asleep. Okay. You have to try to help out. Now, this is a general thing, trying to help out in the house. It's a very, very bad habit that we think that our work was outside. I come home, I just relax. On the couch, I lay back, and somebody's supposed to come and pull my socks off as well. Okay, give me some cold water. I order people around, you know, and if anybody doesn't do that, then they're going to get it. Having that expectation is not good at all. Amirul Mu'minin, Salamullah alayhi. When he used to come home, and believe me, I don't think any of us works as hard as he did. None of us work as hard as he did. Okay. When he would come home, he wouldn't go and lie down and say, you know, I need to take rest here and, you know, do things for me, or any of that. When he would come home, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, would have the kids to take care of. She makes the food. He would come home and quickly he would get busy with. And one particular one that we have in our ahadith is that he would be cleaning lentils. Okay. Helping out with the food. There's nothing wrong with cooking either. If you know how to cook, okay, give her a break. Let her take a rest. If you don't know how to cook, don't suggest that. Okay. If you know, then... And don't be like me. One of the complaints my wife has when I cook, she likes the food. It tastes good. That's what she says. Others have said as well. But one thing she complains that I need to try to work on is I leave the kitchen a mess, okay? A good chef or cook is one that, you know, cleans up after themselves as well. I got to work on that one. But do things. Try to help out, all right? Do whatever you can. Try to help out. Give her that time. Another thing... Recite a salawat, please. Again, technically it's a responsibility. If you ask, then it's wajib. She has to accept that. However, if we mistreat her, if we say things that are harsh to her, if we constantly hurt her feelings, then naturally she wouldn't want to be with us. She doesn't enjoy being with us. Okay. And again, although, all right, if she's religious, then she's going to give in. But she's not necessarily going to enjoy that. And we will enjoy it more if our partner, our wife, is also enjoying it. All right. We will enjoy it more if she is enjoying it as well. If she doesn't feel like it because of the way we've hurt her, today, or God forbid, sometimes every day, that's something we've talked about before, and we'll make some brief reminders on that as well. In hadith, this is something for a more brutal community. I hope we don't have any of that here, you know, where people beat on their wives. I'm not sure if it was the Holy Prophet or one of the Ahlul Bayt, they said, the same hand that beat on her, you want to use the same hand and try to give her a hug and put it around her neck and, you know, enjoy your time with her. Okay, we have to be careful. Our treatment is also very important. If you want it, if you want to enjoy it, if you feel that you're not getting the satisfaction you're looking for, look at your actions towards her. Even if you don't think, yeah, I was supposed to say that. Okay, but there's different ways you can say something. Even if it is important to say it, you have to consider she's had a hard day too, for example. She's been working hard in the house as well. That is work. Okay? So you can be a little more polite when you want to say that. You can say it in a way that you don't hurt her feelings. You can go back and apologize, something that's very, very difficult to do. You know, just say, I'm sorry, okay? And don't just say those words without really meaning it. They don't like it. Another thing is, well, on top of that, not just not treating her bad, but being kind, showing that affection, showing love, buying roses is not just for the first couple of months or during, what do you guys call it, after the nikah is done and before, what is it, rukhsati you guys call it? Yeah, it's not just for that time. It's not just for engagement, okay? Afterwards, after marriage, buying gifts, okay? That's good to try to cheat, make them feel good about us as well. And next is, you know, we have to take care of ourselves as well. Physically, okay? We got to look attractive as well. If those love bars are getting a little too big, okay, or the belly is, you know, well, it's not going to be as attractive. Making oneself look more attractive, we have hadith. Okay, these are not my words. Let me mention this hadith from one of the companions says, I saw Abul Hasan, salamullah alayhi, Imam al-Qadir. I saw him, اختضبه. He was coloring his hair. Okay, he was coloring his hair. At that time it was common. I don't know what his age was, but he was coloring his hair. Then apparently this companion was a little surprised. It wasn't, I guess, common for people to do that. Maybe similar to, I don't know, maybe putting gel in one's hair for a religious person in some communities. I don't know, something. Anyway, so he says, I asked him, you know, you're putting color in you're coloring your hair? قَالَ نَعَمْ Yes. But what's the purpose? He says, إِنَّ التَّهِيئَةَ مِمَّا يَزِيدُ فِي عِفَّةِ النِّسَاءِ Preparing yourself for her, taking a shower, removing that unwanted hair, making ourselves look good. It's not just when we're going out, we look in the mirror and everything's looking good. I have my cologne on and I'm going out. Then I come home a big mess, okay? And I'm smelling and I'm sweaty and all of that. No, go change, go take a shower, put perfume on, put cologne on. You know, comb your hair, look nice in the house, look nice, put good clothes on in the house, okay? And especially... as he says, tahi'a, preparing yourself. Don't just, you know, call her to come. Do something as well. Make yourself look better or something. Give her a hint maybe in that way. And he says, the other thing about this, which is very interesting, he says this, one preparing themselves, a husband preparing himself for his wife, is tazidu fi iffatin nisa. It causes them to be more chaste. Okay. It causes haya'a. This is also a need for the sisters. We didn't talk about this. I will in a second. The physical need is a physical need for brothers and sisters. All right. If she doesn't get it from her husband, if she doesn't get the treatment that she wants from her husband, then having conversations with non-mahram men becomes something that's more enjoyable. If you don't spend that time with her, if you don't give her the right kindness, and in this context, if you don't give, you know, if you don't look good for her, then that's going to be causing problems at times. God forbid. It prepares the ground. We should try to remove the circumstance and change the circumstances that cause these types of things to happen. And I have seen this, okay? I have seen this. You have some women that when they're talking to non-mahram, they seem a lot more interested than when they are talking to their own husband, okay? When they want to go outside, they put more makeup on and they look better than when they're in front of their husband, okay? This is not good. This is not good, all right? And through our conduct, we can try to do this. And the last thing that I would like to say in this regard is something that I was surprised. Now, I don't know. Again, this is one of those very difficult things to talk about. But I'm surprised reading on this subject and finding that even in the West, where there's very loose relationship between the opposite genders and there's a lot of haram activity going on, this is still a problem. I don't know why, but apparently it is. And that is, men don't know that they need to satisfy their wife as well. And that satisfaction is something that takes more time than the brothers. We have hadith, don't just go quick 10 minutes, that's it. You have to spend time, prepare. Okay, it will take time. And you have got to have her enjoy it as well. You have to learn how she's going to be satisfied. Because if she's not satisfied, again, she's going to start throwing fits for no reason, for no apparent reason. Okay. Recite the salawat, please. And this is a tip. If you really want to enjoy, hadith says, women have a lot more shahwa. They have a lot more lust. Okay. Just need to tap into it. You need to learn how she is going to enjoy it. She's going to be satisfied. And if that happens, both parties are satisfied physically, it prepares the mind and the heart and everything for better relationship in other times. Okay. When I look at the amount of ahadith, the number of ahadith that we have related to this, some of the subjects in fiqh, when we refer to hadith books, we find like one or two hadith. All right. Three, four hadith. But some subjects we go and we see there's a lot of talk by the Ahlul Bayt in regards to it from the Holy Prophet. Not only just questions that are answered, but also them starting a conversation, talking about it themselves, without there being a question being raised from anyone. This is one of those areas that I'm surprised. I'm very surprised when I look at the volume of hadith that we have in this regard. And the reason for it is very clear, because it's very important and we neglect it. We neglect it, we neglect it. We don't take it serious. We don't know that this is the source of a lot of arguments and fights. We thought the fight was about, I don't know, clothing, about kids, about something else. That's not the root cause. The reason why this person gets so frustrated or so agitated, whether it's the husband or the wife, can very well be related to this without really knowing it. Okay. That's why we have such a large volume of hadith in this regard. So we have to take it serious. We need to ask questions. Again, I repeat this. Today, it's a lot easier. Okay? Imagine, again, when I read those ahadith, they're scary. They're scary. I can't even translate. I can't believe some of those questions, like somebody actually having the guts. I don't have the guts to ask these questions from my teachers. Okay? Go and say, you know, I have this particular situation. Can you tell me what to do? All right? Imagine going to the imam of the time and saying, you know, this is my situation with my wife or with my husband. She asked me to do this or the other. I cannot talk about what they say, all right, the questions that they raise. You'll be dragging me off of this minbar. But they ask those questions. Today, okay, today you don't have that problem. You don't have to ask. There's plenty of material. Don't go look at the pictures, okay? But there's plenty of material you can read, okay? You can read about this from reliable sources to learn. And I emphasize, maybe some of the some of you are thinking, I think this is very important for people that are about to get married as well, or those who are, inshallah, in the next couple few years will be getting married. It's good to know this. Very good to know it. And don't think that you'll know automatically. All right. I am surprised some people who come and ask the questions, I did not expect them to have these types of questions, these types of issues, but I talked about this, and I hope you go and ask your particular questions or try to read up on it and learn the responses. After all of that that we said, these were the obligations. In a marital relationship, we don't have only obligations. We have a list of other things as well. All right. For example, one thing that we mentioned before, don't try to play the line that, oh, this is your responsibility, this is my right, and you have to do this. Yeah, there's a responsibility, but it doesn't mean that I have to ask for it all the time. There's a right, I can say I don't want to work in the house and you have to give me money if I want to work. The right is there, but women choose not to do that because it's not wise for them to do it. For the sake of Allah, because it is recommended, it has rewards in the hereafter. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha used to do the work, go through the difficulty. They used to make fire. They didn't have the stoves that we have these days. They used to make fire. They used to make their own flour. They had to clean the wheat, make that flour. It would take a lot of time. It would be very difficult. Sometimes her hands would be bleeding. She went through all of that trouble for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a worship. You're thinking only nawafil are going to get us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Every one of these actions with the intention of making this a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to get us close to Allah. So for the same reason, if I come home and I see, you know, she's not in the mood, she's tired or whatever, don't say that this is a right that I have and you need to give into it or whatever. No, you have to be wise as well. No, I'm not going to do that. This is not wise at this time. So it's not only about obligations. We have some ahadith. One hadith that I'd like to mention for the brothers in the specific to the marital relationship. The hadith goes like this. It's from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "قول الرجل للمرأة إني أحبك لا يذهب من قلبها أبدا." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created women in this way. If you tell them that you have love for them, you love them, okay? That stays in their heart. Okay. That's something that we need to do. We need to speak kind words. We need to express our love. All right. That's something that's very difficult for men to do. They forget, they neglect, they get busy with work outside, tired, whatever. But we need to remind ourselves. It's important. Spend the time. Spend the time. Another hadith that we have about spending time, he says, from the Holy Prophet again, he says, ارجع إلى أهلك فإنه منك عليهم صدقة. Spending time, all right, spending time with the family, especially with the wife, is a sadaqah. Charity, okay, sadaqah doesn't mean charity, by the way, all right. Any type of good deed that is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be referred to as sadaqah. But usually we use it in the case of charity. So doing something that is a worship of God, gaining a lot of rewards, isn't only by working outside, giving charity, praying, or things like that. Spending time, sitting down and talking, whatever she wants to talk about. Okay? Find interest in it if you don't think that that's very interesting for you. Find interest in it. Spend that time, hear her out, talk, engage. Don't just, you know, hear like, okay, when is this going to get over with? All right. Engage in that conversation. And it's very rewarding spiritually as well as in our relationship with our spouse. And the last point, which our time has gone, we've gone beyond our time, the prayer time I guess has come in, but just last point. As we mentioned in the relationship between family members, parents and their children, I don't know why when it comes to akhlaq, we don't think that that akhlaq applies to our relationship with our husband and wife. That when they say that it's haram to disrespect, it's haram to annoy a believer, okay? Saying words that someone gets disturbed by them is haram. I can't come up to you and start not only cursing, forget about cursing out, but if I say something to you that hurts your feelings, it bothers you, I can't do it. If I do something to you that it gets on your nerves, I shouldn't do it. It's haram. I can't do that. In the relationship between husband and wife, that's how it is. The same thing applies. This is a believer that we're treating. We're not allowed to treat them just any way. All of what we have from in the ahadith in respecting, it applies there as well. Just because we see them on a regular basis doesn't mean that we should not show that respect. Doesn't mean that outside we wouldn't dare say certain things, but here in the house, towards the wife, we open our mouth and say whatever we want, or towards the husband, either way. We've got to be very careful. We wouldn't dare shout on our neighbor or on anyone in the center, but in the house very easily, for the most minute things, most insignificant things, we scream and holler and make a big fit out of it. That's not allowed. We cannot do that. The hadith, again, and we'll end with this. The hadith that said, su'ul khulq destroys religion. Su'ul khulq, especially with the family. And because the hadith tell us this applies to sometimes in this, because, you know, we come home, we're tired, it's maybe a little more applicable to us. Sometimes we mistreat. There's a hadith, one of the companions of the Holy Prophet passed away, and after he passed away, the Holy Prophet participated in his burial, in the funeral. Not only that, when they wanted to bury him, they had dug up the grave. So the Holy Prophet went inside the grave and lied down in the grave. Just imagine how much barakah that has. Okay, you would want to have the imam of your time, you would want to have, you know, spiritual scholars even. People would like to have, would love to have like Atla Bahjat or someone like that come to the house. Just his presence, the barakah that brings, okay? We try to take the, what some call Khaki Shifa, okay? The soil of Karbala, to put it in that grave. The Holy Prophet himself came into the grave and he lied down in that grave, okay? So, when they wanted to bury this man, the mother of this man was very happy. Said, Alhamdulillah, my son, he's so good. I'm sure he's in a very, very good position right now. He's being rewarded by God. Why? Because the Holy Prophet treated him in that way. He participated. Not only that, he went in his grave. Alhamdulillah, he was proud of his son. The Holy Prophet told him, no. He said, no. Pray for your son. Why? Because your son was not good with his family members. He mistreated them. He didn't speak to them appropriately. Okay. Disturbing them. It causes adabul qabr. Okay. The pains in the grave. The punishments of the grave. It causes that. All right. So even if we're a good believer, known person, but if we have that interaction with our family members, with our spouse especially, it is very, very problematic. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that he helps us gain the knowledge and implement the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that he hastens the return of our beloved Imam. We ask him to help us develop ourselves to become the true companions and soldiers of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that he prolongs the life of and gives good health to all of those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the Maraja and especially the leader. We ask him to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our relatives, all believers, especially those who have taught us a word in Islam, of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the believers from the pains and difficulties and illnesses that they have, and to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions that they're facing. If I've said anything during these nights that we've been here that has offended anyone, or if we've had any shortcomings in the explanations, please forgive me, inshallah, and pray for me for the remainder of this month. Bin Nabiya wa alihi rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'a salawat. Another reminder that for also the volunteers is people in, not just in the kitchen, but in the kitchen, that we don't see them, and also during the program that they do the work, they clean up as well, recite a salawat followed by a fatiha for them as well.